WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively celebrating 25 years and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're getting it back out on the road. We're going to be at Fadley's on Friday from 9 until noon. Going to be there with, we're going to have the Ravens scratch offs. I have these 50th anniversaries. These are old news now. It's Ravens season. The Ravens are 1-0. We'll be there with our friends at Window Nation as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube. We have new sponsors for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning this week. Fadley's 9 until noon. Come on down to the old Lexington Market. Get there about 10:30 or 11. They don't open till then. But Dr. Anthony Jenkins from Coppin State, our partners, going to be joining us, as well as Larry Stewart from the basketball program. So it's a Coppin State Friday. It's a Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Orioles are home all week, Cardinals, and of course, this Friday and Saturday, we're opening the Nest. So if you're familiar with the cupcake and the Disney-fied Main Street fireworks of our 25th anniversary, it's right below that on the logo at the corner of Conway and Pratt. You've heard of the Baltimore Convention Center. It's the deck on the backside that literally looks at the warehouse. It's beautiful. Hot dogs, food, music, beer, the whole deal. My wife and I are going to be down there on Friday night celebrating Adam Jones. I wore my black shirt for Adam Jones today. Coco's is our newest sponsor. I want to give Marcella some love as well. We had the most delicious cheeseburger in paradise over in Lauraville on Saturday at Coco's Pub. So give Marcella some love. You're going to be hearing about Coco's, and I'm going to be out there. We're there next week. Next Thursday, we're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour there. So, and I don't have any guests for that yet, although I'll get Resig to come by. It'll be fun. We'll be at Coco's Pub next week doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. All right, baseball week. Let's pretend that the Ravens aren't playing this Sunday against the Bengals, just for a couple of minutes. I know it's hard to get past these injuries and the text service you got with Coons Baltimore Ford and what's going on with Linderbaum and, oh, my God, Ronnie Stanley and what happened to Marcus Williams, all of that stuff. Look, the baseball team's in first place. And I know in any other universe, you would suspend the football season right now and say, let's begin football in November around here. We can't do that. Football sitting on top of baseball. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how those goofs over 105.7, because you can't take a phone call about both at the same time. You can only be doing one or the other. In this case, I want to do some baseball, and I'm going to have some show and tell here in this segment for you, because I went out on the interwebs and I've been doing some shopping. And on Friday at the Nest, I'm going to debut my new Oriole jersey. I'm really excited about this. I think you can tell by the whites of my eyes I'm excited about this. Are you ready for some playoff baseball? Are you ready for what this weekend represents? Win or lose? They can win four, lose four, split, probably more likely split 3-1, whatever. That the Rays can't catch them if they play good baseball this week. That's unbelievable, dude.
Oh, it's so exciting. I mean, when you're talking about what this team has done all season long, I mean, 90-win season, which is, I think, the fourth time that's happened since 1983, you're in a position where, you know, as they begin this homestand, they only need to go 500 to win 100 games for the first time since 1980. They're in a position where, you know, they lost a game on Sunday, of course, and probably the best game to lose, because more people were probably paying closer attention to the Ravens week one. If you were going to have a slip up in Boston, it was better that it was Sunday.
Dude, I thought the rain delay was going to get me to 4 o'clock, and then it didn't. Yeah. And then Rodriguez got beaten up, and I didn't really want to see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was pretty forgettable. But at the same time, they just finished up a 7-2 road trip. And by the way, let's be clear, when you're talking about going, you know, the opponents that the Orioles faced, you know, that you want to go 7-2, especially with the way the Rays are playing. I mean, the Orioles have the second best record in baseball, best in the American League. Rays, I think, are fourth in the majors behind the Dodgers, and they're second in the American League. So it's not as though there's been much margin for error. So it's nice for the Orioles to have a three-game lead. If they can maintain that at the very least going into Thursday, you're in a position this weekend where they can all but put this away. And they're in a position where even if they don't play great, it's not going to be disaster for them, right? So they have done the work. They've put themselves in this position. They've continued to go all these series without being swept. And, you know, what they did on the road trip, you win seven in a row before Sunday. And I mean, they're at a point where they have played so well for so long that every loss feels bad. And when I say that, I mean, like, you don't expect it, right? You say,
They win
They
six nights a
lost.
week. How
Right,
could they
right,
lose a game to Boston
right.
on Sunday while I was off philandering, cheating on them by watching the Ravens after watching them all summer? I feel dirty, you know?
Right. I mean, it's just wild when you think about that. And look, let's be clear. That doesn't mean you should overreact to it, but just the fact that you react to a loss in baseball with how well they're playing. I mean, before Sunday, they had what? Won 13 of 16. I think that, 19 of 25, whatever it was, and they had won seven in a row. I mean, I don't care who you're playing. You're doing that, and you're doing that for long stretches, and you have avoided these dips. I mean, it's rare that they lose two in a row. I mean, that's where they've been all season, right? I mean, they've only had a couple stretches. Right around the 4th of July was the last time people were genuinely worried about this team in terms of wins and losses. And we've seen how they've played ever since.
This
So,
has been almost boring from a coach standpoint. Like, it's going to get interesting this weekend if they lose Thursday and Friday. That's when it's like, oh boy. Well, you know what I mean? Like, we haven't had an old
right.
boy around here with them, really.
Not real, other than the injury to Batista, and he even is playing catch that, look, I'm not, don't overreact to that,
That
but the
doesn't mean he
fact that
could
he
throw
even,
101.
but it might, hey, but the, it means there could be a path that he might be able to throw a little bit in the postseason, and maybe it is a case where, yeah, he's probably going to get have to get Tommy John anyway, and he's going to be out all of next year anyway. Does he have seven innings in his arm? Even if it's at throwing 98 as opposed to 102, that's still better than anything they have. So don't hold your breath on it. Let's be clear. There's a long way to go, but the fact
Luke
that he
Jones is a
even
man
is
who's never
playing
had a
catch.
UCLA injury. I want to make sure, you know, I say UCLA. UCL. There you go. UCLA. That
The way
either.
that I had, the way that I threw even in youth ball, I was a second baseman, so I don't think I even have a UCL. I mean, never had the arm strength,
Or as
but
Mark Messina once said, you can't throw a party.
no. Right. But the point is, even that, we found a shred of, a little morsel of optimism. Again, don't hold your breath on it. There's a long way to go with that. But this team just, they keep finding ways. I mean, look at Saturday night. I mean, look at the how historic that was that they found a way to win a game, gave up 23 hits. I mean, who does that?
That game's still going on, right? It hadn't ended,
It's
right?
wild, right? It's wild. And look, I
That's
don't.
old baseball. I hope we never get those games. That was every night they played 4-hour games.
Right. I mean, don't make that a habit. Let's be clear about that. But it's just, it really is remarkable that they just find a way and they're not perfect. We've talked about this a lot. It's not even that they have that many guys that are having, but he still was the one guy having a truly historic season. Gunnar Henderson's going to be rookie of the year, but he's not MVP of the league either. They just have so many guys that have played good baseball. They have guys who've stepped up at the right time. Role players that have contributed at the right time. I mean, look at the fantastic play McKenna made. What was that? Friday night, I guess it was. I think it was Friday night. Sorry, I was in and out of watching baseball this week with other things
Mateo,
going on.
I mean, these guys that are they're Todd Cruises, they're Floyd Rayfords, they're
Yeah.
just guys, right? And then there's Westberg and Mullins, who, you know, might be dudes on other teams, right? Because this team's got dudes, right? This is a wild mix, but it still comes back to pitching for me and how Kramer's going to look this week and how Bradish has been looking and where we really are with Rodriguez and where we are with. No offense, we'll do okay against the Rays this week. I don't think they're going to lose four games in a row here and make this thing turn this thing into something ugly, but it could. And this is the biggest series they played in this ballpark ever. This is like playoffs, fine. I'll take the ALC. This is the biggest regular season weekend in the history of Camden Yards in 32 years, and they don't have a lease, by the way. I'm going to bring that up this week too.
Yeah, it's you bring that up. I'm racking my brain here. I mean,
When have they had a sold-out weekend in a division game in September in a race that mattered? They haven't had that. I've been here
I
long.
mean,
I don't. There's been. Now, you know what? This will tell you how old I am, dude. Okay, 79. The Red Sox and the Yankees came in, and my dad and I. I'll regale you with this because your dad was a ticket taker at Memorial Stadium. The bleacher seats were general admission. This is for the young people. The old people know this. When there were big games, Tankard Night. They would make it reserve general admission, and you get a seat in section 11, row 31 on the 10, right? Out in the gold seats. I remember, and I have my ticket stubs from 79, when the Red Sox and Yankees came in, my dad caught a ball from Lou Piniella. I remember that vividly during batting practice. But the Yankees and Red Sox, that's, they sold it that way in August and September of 79. 79 was a real pennant race. 83, a little more runaway. And then the catching up, 82 when they didn't make it, you know, 81 in the split season. They had big August and September series where Chuck Thompson is like, get your tickets ahead of time. We're going to have a big crowd. And it wasn't, we're giving away a bobblehead or there's going to be fire. No, the fireworks are the friggin' Yankees are coming to town, and that's Reggie Jackson and that's Greg Nettles and that's Catfish Hunter, and we need to go beat them. And we don't feel that way about the Rays, although the Rays have been legitimate, right? But like, this is that series, dude. I mean, I feel it in my DNA in a way. I was a real media member in 96 and 97. So I was there for, they weren't, I mean, 97 was a runaway. They didn't have anything big. 96 was a catch up and every series was big because they were sold out every night anyway. Right. So, and then in 12, 14 and 16, I mean, the curse of the Andino night, I was at that game, the night that the Red Sox thing happened and all that before they even got good. But dude, this is the real deal. Sold out.
It's huge.
The Adam Jones thing, that's icing. That's great. This is the best marketing thing. And
absolutely,
they pissed Adam Jones off and they screwed him over like they've screwed me and a million other people like Mike Bordick and BJ Suroff and down the line and down the line and down the line. They're the Angelos family. But, I mean, I'll give them flowers when they deserve it. They're putting together a team and a weekend and something that I want to be at this weekend and a sold-out night. And I'm writing a note to Adam Jones. I'm doing a Dear Adam Jones note. This reminds me of my dad and I getting those tickets on a Saturday night game against the Red Sox when Jim Rison was coming in here to knock us out of the playoffs in 78. Am I going to get knocked out of the playoffs here? And they don't want to be playing October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. That's what this is all about this week.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, you just look at this and the way that this race has presented itself, what it's become. I mean, it's the Orioles and the Rays. The winner of the division is going to be the number one seed. The loser, now they'll host a wild card series, but best of three. I mean, we saw this play out last year. I mean, look at the Phillies, who are a wild card team. They beat St. Louis twice in 24 hours. And then before you know it, they're making the World Series, but the Cardinals went home in 24
hours. Dude, you
want to
play three games with Houston or Seattle?
No.
You want to play three games with Minnesota
not at all
right now? I mean, for everything, knowing where we are with pitching and this and that, you lose game one. And then, oh my God, your nuts get tight.
You don't want to play a best of three with anyone, considering the work that you have put in to this point. We just talked about where this season ranks. I mean, this is only their fourth 90-win season since 1983. I mean, that's where they are right now. They only have to go 500 to win 100 games. Now, the division's more important, and it might take more. Might take 101, might take 102. I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll see. Again, this four-game set is just massive. The only thing I can think of in terms of Camden Yards, and this is why I love the fact that Adam Jones is coming back Friday night, and you know they're doing the little thing where he's going to retire an Oriole, you know, which he deserves that. You know, I mean, this is post Cal Ripken.
Well,
there's
especially
no
because
one...
they screwed him, kind of sort. I mean,
sure.
Like,
I mean, it was
just sad that they ever made him go to Japan. And if I ever sit down with him, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to him for his life and the way and the kind of human he is and traveling and like all of that, but.
It was unfortunate how it ended, however you want to slice it. And look, I'm not even saying that they should have re-signed him, but the exit could have been handled much better than it was. Everyone will agree on that. But the only what this reminds me of, Nestor, is I do think back to 2012. The Orioles had that series with the Yankees in early September. Remember, that was the weekend Sabathia hit Markakis' thumb and broke it. But they had Cal Ripken statue night on the anniversary of, you know, the 21-31. And the atmosphere that night, Nestor, electric. It was sold out. Adam Jones hit a big home run late in that game to ice it for the O's. And
I remember that game. It was 11 years ago now.
Yeah. I mean, it was and we were just talking about this late season series, you know, division or wild card or playoff race, you know, playoff berth on the line. There hasn't been a whole lot of that because of some of the circumstances you laid out. The Orioles have either been way behind just trying to sneak in as a wild card, or in the case of 97 or 2014, they pulled away and they won the division. There were no critical series at the very end. So this is massive. So to have Adam Jones part of that on Friday night where they've already announced a sellout, I've talked to three or four of my friends. They're all coming Friday night. It's rare when I have multiple friends at a game on the same night. I like that.
By the way, you
But
still hung over from Penn State the other day, or no? You all right? Do you make
I
it out of there
behaved
okay?
myself. Hey, I had to work on Sunday. I behaved myself up in
Happy
Happy
Valley
Valley.
was just only sort of
It was
happy.
fun. It was fun. I hadn't been there in a long time. Got to watch a game with my best friend, so it was a good time. But this weekend, I mean, this is huge. It's important on so many levels. This is that weekend that anyone in your life that's an Orioles fan that has stuck through this, especially, I mean, we can talk about this the last 30 years, 40 years, really, even before the Peter Angelos, regime. But for anyone who's stuck through the last 5 years specifically, I mean, this weekend's for them, where you saw so much god awful baseball. I mean, not just bad 98 through 2011 bad, historically terrible baseball
We are
in
owed a weekend
18,
like this weekend. We are owed
19,
it.
21, right. This is huge. It's huge. And the good news is that the Orioles, assuming they take care of business against the Cardinals, and you don't want to make any assumptions, and I'd be remiss, you mentioned some of the pitching questions. John Means starting on Tuesday night. I mean, that's huge. What's he going to look like? How does he potentially fit in? There's a spot sitting there for someone to take in this postseason rotation. Bradish is in. Grayson Rodriguez, even Sunday struggles aside, is in for me. Dean Kramer has proven himself to be worthy of a rotation spot. That fourth spot, I have no idea right now. Okay, Gibson's the vet. Sure. Flaherty's been
It's
awful
committee no
since his.
matter what, dude. It's going to be committee
Well,
no matter what. I mean, we're
sure.
talking about games 5 weeks from now, you're right, or 4 weeks from
And
now.
who knows who's going
But
to be healthy and all that? Right. I get you.
Means being
He's the
a
wild card.
part of that, and or somebody, I mean, Rodriguez is going to go out and get slammed in the second inning against the A's. Something bad
Hopefully
always
not.
happens in one or two where somebody exits after 38 pitches in the third inning and you're getting your ass kicked. 4-1's getting your ass kicked in the second inning. You don't get a lot of rope. And then there's the whole, well, do we go to Cole Irvin or do we go, whoever those people are. That's why I'm not as concerned about the number. You're going to number four. Just give me three. Give me three and we'll figure out the rest of it because you might be up 3-0, you might be down 3-0, and you have to go back to number one. Like, because
Okay.
the right?
No, go ahead. It's fine. I don't disagree with that sentiment. I guess my sentiment is they need to find another answer, whether it's the number four or a long man out of the pen, whatever it is. And that's where John Means making this start this week, being back on the active roster, 16 months removed from Tommy John surgery. He's gone through his rehab. Let's see what it looks like. Because if he's anything close to the John Means who threw a no-hitter in Seattle 2 years ago, or the guy that made the All-Star team 4 years ago, and I get it. It was because the Orioles, they needed someone to go, but he was really good that year. He was a
He was
really
the only
good
really good
pitcher.
thing they had that year.
Was he right? Was he a pure ace? No. But is he a guy that can be, if he's right, a legitimate member of your postseason rotation or a legitimate factor for you? Boy, that would be huge for them, especially as we're talking about, what the bullpen's going to look like, assuming we're not going to get a miraculous return here from Felix Bautista. But looking at this bullpen and how it's going to play out, you need more solutions. You need more answers. You need more guys who are going to factor. Jack Flaherty's going the wrong direction. I mean, he's got a 9 ERA since his first start in Toronto. He's looking like a guy that, forget about being in the rotation. I'm starting to wonder if he's even going to be on the postseason roster. That's how bad he's been. So,
23 hits Saturday night. Cano couldn't get out of his own way. Right.
It was
Yeah.
bad, right? But Flaherty's been the guy who's he's been consistently bad since that first start. So, look, there are 3 weeks to go. We're at a point now, Nestor, where the 6 month marathon or the 5.5 month marathon, it's a 3 week sprint now. And really it's longer than that because you're playing in October in some capacity, whether it's the division and the number one seed or whether you're rolling the dice on the wild card round. So it's go time. It's time for them, for guys that are staking their claim to whether it's to be a starter in the postseason or be a an eighth inning high leverage guy out of the bullpen, whatever it might be, it's go time. So the fact that we're going to see John Means this week, see what it looks like. Again, I'm not expecting him to be pre-surgery perfect version of John Means, whatever that looks like, which threw a no-hitter 2 years ago. I'm not expecting that guy, but can he be better than what they have right now? If he can, then that makes that improves their chances that much more for October. So huge, huge week. Absolutely massive 4 game set. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the series goes. And then, boy, we were already talking about some of the conflict with Sunday at where the Orioles were in Fenway and everyone's watching the Ravens. How about week two? Ravens at Cincinnati, but Orioles playing the last of a four-game set against Tampa Bay. I mean, as I said, you always fear the worst, right? You always think about it in terms of, okay, they've got this cushion. They've got a three-game lead. They're in position that even if the weekend doesn't go great. But what if it's the opposite? If it goes really well, you're talking about come Sunday, they could have the division all but wrapped up mathematically. I mean, it'll be a case then where, they could be up six with, at that point, what, 13 games to go or something like that. I mean, that's pretty close to insurmountable when you're talking about that kind of math. So this is a massive week, a massive opportunity for the Baltimore Orioles. And boy, it couldn't be more exciting when you're talking about a team that has already won 90 games, on its way to a 100-win season, and very well possible that they're going to be the number one seed, which is a little weird talking in those terms with baseball, but we know it's important with the way this playoff structure is now.
You know what I got planned in October, Luke? Not
Nothing
a
but
damn
baseball.
Thing. Not a thing. I've cleaned the calendar. I'm afraid it, like Coco's, right? I said to Marcella the other day, like, I got to do the Crab Cake Tour next week because I'm going to do them this month. I can't plan anything next month, right? Like at all. Mm-hmm. And so I have a little funny. I'm going to do a little show and tell with you because I had Dan Pastorini on last week. And, you know me a while. You were a listener. I mean, I was the biggest Houston Oilers fan in the world. Dan Pastorini was my first quarterback, even more so than like Burt Jones or whatever in the 70s. And I bought this because I get these crazy belt buckles. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. So I got this Pastorini jersey.
Nice.
I think I paid $38, $35. It's beautiful. It's stitched. It's sort of lightweight, and it fits me, right? And it's a Mitchell and Ness. And I thought it was like going to be like those blue Flacco jerseys. Remember back? Uh-huh. I thought it was going to be a little like – on from the Chinese side of the dark side of the internet. So I had this, and I got this a couple months ago. And then we had our 25th anniversary over at Costas. And Kevin Grace, who's one of the longtime listeners, he's a beautiful man, works for Southwest Airlines. He worked at the racetrack for years. He's had a movement to write a couple of books on Joe Gans, a boxer, trying to get him into the Hall of Fame. Also a horse that he wrote about as well. I'm going to make him a guest. He said he was going to be a guest and he wasn't, but he brings me a gift in a bag. He's like, you've been talking about this for years. I have this gift for you. I know you don't have this item and I know you want it. And I'm like, what is it? And my wife's like, yeah, what is it? I'm always looking for something to give him for Christmas that he would actually want. So he got me the Jim Palmer. I didn't go to the game. I live downtown when this happened. This happened when my wife was sick, and I didn't get the jersey. And it's the 66 jersey. So, I love the 66 logo. I love the piping on it. I love the black. It reminds me of like Boog Powell and Aparicio, the 66. So I have this. It doesn't fit, dude. It's like a friggin' – it's like a gown on me, right? Like, I can wear it, and I've worn it. I wore it eating crabs over Costas one night, get some crab stains on it for Jim, who's never done the show. And it's kind of a shame because I love Jim Palmer, but I love him. I love him better not having him on the show, quite frankly. Then I went on the internet and I thought, all right, I can't find, believe it or not, I've lost my Oriole jersey. The one you know about with the orange piping, the one I've worn, Aparicio 11. I bought it in 1992. I told Dennis this last week. Well, this has to do with you because you wouldn't be on the radio right now, like if it weren't for all of this. Like, so 1992, when I went on the radio, WITH, I had a Jeep, yellow Jeep, and I drive up and down Ritchie Highway, Harford Road, Merritt Boulevard, knocking on doors, every business. My name's Nestor. I do Sports Forum on WITH, AM 1230 at that time. So used to saying 1570. So I thought, what's going to get attention? Well, the Orioles were sold out. It's summer of 92. I invested like 129, like it was a lot of money to get that jersey. It was, I took it up to Mar up at Pro-Am. She stitched it for me. It was perfect 92 jersey. And bought it, put it on, and it fit me until I gained weight. And then it popped the thing. And then I lost weight and it started fitting again. And then I stopped going to the games and Angelo's threw me out. Go read the Peter Principles of Free the Birds. So I don't wear it that much, but I wear it on opening day and I wear it when I go to ball games. I wear it. It's a little hot because summertime can be a little bit that way. It's polyester. It's from 1992. I can't find it. We moved. I can't find it. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna start looking for some jerseys online, figure out, because I have the Tony Gwynn. That's that lightweight. It's awesome when you have a lightweight jersey. I paid $100 for that on the baseball tour 8 years ago. So I don't spend any money on baseball, right? I don't go to games other than Angelo siphoning whatever $3.50 he's getting off my cable bill. I haven't given them a nickel this year. Matter of fact, I didn't even go to Springsteen the other night, even though they canceled it because I found that they weren't giving the state any money. I was like, I'll go to the Nats Park one. So I went up online and I started looking at jerseys and like what I wanted. And this is the one I always wanted, right? So this is the one I was looking at every time I was at Comiskey Park eating the elotes that I tell you about that are so delicious there. And I see Aparicio 11 up on the facade and I see the Louis statue out in center field and I take pictures with it. The 1969 Chicago
Wow.
White Sox jersey is the great. It's a little big, but it's not too big. It's big enough that I can wear it in winter. It's polyester, but it's not wool. The ones at Comiskey Park were wool, and they were like, you know, $379. That's nothing I'm going to buy. I'm a $100 Louis. You know, I mean, if I can't put it on for less than $100, I ain't wearing it. I mean, I'm from Dundalk, right? So I got this thing. This is the 1969. Louis Aparicio jersey. It has the 100th anniversary. And much like the Pastorini jersey, dude, I thought this thing was going to show up and be ratty and awful and black market. No, no, no. This is stitched. It's legitimate. It's Cooper. It's beautiful. And look at that, dude. How
Nice.
beautiful is this 69? This is on the 1970 card. So if you get this 1970, they only wore this 1 year. A lot of teams had special jerseys in 69 to sort of honor the 100th year anniversary. It's a Bowie Kuhn thing. So this leads me to the new Oriole jersey. Okay, you ready?
I'm
so
ready.
I kind of want a 66 Aparicio, kind of like the Palmer. That's kind of what I want. And I could do it, and it's more money than I want to spend, quite frankly. It's, you know, just, I'm not going to spend $289 or whatever to get it on the pro shop and all of that. And then I find this piece, and the dude wanted, like, this speaks to my cheapskate. Dude wanted like $179, and I'm like, I ain't paying $179, but that freaking thing's beautiful and I have to have it. And I had the measurement of it, make sure it was going to fit. So this is the 79 Oriole jersey style. It should have an 11 and DeSensei's on it, probably, right, from that era. The last jersey Brooks wore when he hit the home run, right?
Right.
Like all of that. So this is the late 70s, my favorite, my heart, right? Being up in Section 11, walking up the 34, Wild Bill, all of that. They wore these from time to time. The Renicky one was calling my name, dude. The Renicky one totally calling my name with the 35 on it. But Louis Aparicio was here from 64 to 68, 67. He wore the Baltimore. I have this beautiful News American Sunday insert with him wearing Orioles in the block, O-R-I-O-L-E-S, with black lettering, black piping. Just beautiful jerseys from the 60s. I love that 66 jersey. But I'm a late 70s guy, and they had an Aparicio stitched.
Awesome.
This existed. So I'm like, I ain't paying $179 for this. So the guy tried to sell for, you know, $1.50, $1.30. Finally, I'm like, dude, $99. I need this for the playoffs. All right. I need this. All right. $12 shipping. So, dude, this is my
nice. That's awesome.
And if I can resurrect Mar or send this thing off to that Cleveland person that does the LeBron James, I'll get an 11 here to make it look proper. But it's kind of cool the way it is. It's kind of unique. And it fits me. So, and it's got a little thickness to it like my old one did. So, I mean, the weather's going to be changing here. It's probably not a July 14th Sunday afternoon jersey, but it's going to be a great September through Memorial Day jersey for me. So, Luke, I'm ready. Do I look ready for the nest on Friday night?
You are ready. Ready, excited. I mean, this is such a big week. It's such a great time to be a Baltimore sports fan. It's been, we talked about this a little bit in 14 and 16 and 12, but boy, this is Orioles trying to be the number one seed, trying to have home field throughout. Ravens off to a 1-0 start, even with the injuries. This is exciting times. Enjoy this, because Lord knows there have been some times where, you know, it was Ravens and nothing else or whatever it might be. So for both these teams to have the expectations they do, and for the Orioles to be right here, you know, on the cusp of winning the division, number one seed, all that. I mean, it's, boy, we've come a long way from even 2 years ago with a 110 loss team. That's for sure.
Tell me I look good. Just tell me this was, it fits me. Tell me this is
ready.
Perfect, right?
You're ready. Send you out to the what the splash zone, the bird bath, and all that. We'll send you out there,
I'm going
right?
to call Doug the Sensei. I mean, I've been thinking about him a lot because of the 11 on it and, you know, this whole thing. Doug the Sensei is the one guy who came up to me through all of this because I'm going through this crap with the Ravens, which you're clearly aware of. And you know, I don't deserve any of this. And like, it's same way you don't deserve any of this. Have to work double duty this week. I should be sitting in the press box next to you this weekend. But the amazing thing is Bob Ehrlich, who I supported, and I am appalled that I supported him, and I told him to his face, so I'm happy about that. But I supported him, and he did this sports night. It was a fundraiser over at Martin's West when he was running the second time for governor. So I think he was the sitting governor at the time, and he threw an event over there. It was a big Republican thing at the time, and I've been pretty down the middle and independent about lying and not lying on all sides of the purple and orange fence and the red and blue fence and politically and all that. But I went, I was invited, and Ehrlich had me down to the state house with a whole bunch of folks. I had a beautiful night down at the governor's mansion. So, I mean, but all that being said, January 6th tyranny, I'll do that in other segments. But Doug DeSensei came up to me at Martin's West that night in this VIP room that Ehrlich was in. It was a sports thing. There were a lot of athletes there that supported Bob Ehrlich. And he came up to me, and Doug DeSensei came to my Eastwood Little League when I was a boy on Dundalk Avenue at the Auto Workers Hall. We had our Eastwood Little League trophy ceremony, 1978. He's wearing a brown bomber jacket. He looks like a California superstar. His glasses are a little tinted, and he has a picture. I'm a little boy, and he had a picture with me, Doug DeSensei. So didn't know him. Never had him on the show. This is 2007 or 8 after Free the Birds. So he came up to me, and of course I know who Doug DeSensei is, and he comes up to me. He's like, "I just want you to know that everything you're doing and everything you're saying about Peter Angelos, you should keep doing it. I'm behind you 100%. He's wrecked the franchise." Like, all the senseis went in on me. So I'm like, "Thanks, Doug." So, you remember when people come up and support righteousness. So righteousness is we're winning, and righteousness is Doug DeSensei's jersey says Aparicio on it, and I'm happy to have it. I'm going to be wearing it at the Nest on Friday. Friday's a big day, man. I'm going to have Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. They're going to be the Raven scratch-offs, not these 50th anniversary, which has been very lucky, by the way. Had a $100 winner at Coco's a couple months ago as well. We're going to be at the Nest, which is the deck underneath of the cupcake on our Zoom screen here at the corner of Conway and coming into the city on Howard Street at the foot of 395, staring at the Welcome to Oriole Park at Camden Yards sign on the warehouse. Lovely, priced right, hot dogs. It's the mayor's party at the convention center Friday and Saturday with the Nest. I'll be the guy in this slick looking throwback from Majestic. Luke can be found at Oriole Park at Camden Yards all week long, as well as on the backfields at Owings Mills. He's doing double duty this week because they don't let me in. I wish I could pay him more, twice as much. Please, sponsors, come in. Curio, Jiffy Lube. We got new sponsors everywhere, our friends at Window Nation, as well as putting it on with the Maryland Lottery. I'll have scratch-offs to give away. Fadley's on Friday morning, the Nest on Friday night. Sold out Adam Jones, a Dear Adam Jones letter coming to you, Mr. Number 10. Somebody hold me a t-shirt because I'm not going to be able to get in there early enough. I'll bet all that scramble. Maybe 10 years later, somebody will bring me one like they brought me the Palmer one. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. It's baseball. It's football. It's September. It's week two. We're going to Cincinnati. We are Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.